Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Vanilla Pudding Day, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Vanilla pudding. That's what the guys call me when I change at the gym.
I hope you're not real happy about that nickname, because I don't think it's too kind.
Really? I mean, they say it and they laugh, so I just figured they were my friends.
If your boo calls you pudding, that's okay. The guys in the gym?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I took it as a compliment, but perhaps on review, it really wasn't. Here we go. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Rockets have drama, Rich Hill drops F-bombs, and Kyrie Irving shows up in Los Angeles. But we begin today with tonight's Game 5 of the Milwaukee-Toronto series, which has become, oddly, all about Drake and Drake's peculiar privileged access on the Toronto sideline. You'll remember the other night, Drake was massaging Nick Nurse's shoulders during the game.
How great is that?
Milwaukee coach Mike Budenholzer has cried foul, saying, quote, "There's certainly no place for fans, and whatever it is exactly that Drake is for the Toronto Raptors to be on the court, there's boundaries and lines for a reason," unquote. Well, Von, tonight's game is in Milwaukee, so we're not expecting Drake. But if the Bucks lose this one, they got bigger problems than Drake, right?
Tony, got bigger problems than Drake now, right now, a couple of hours before tip-off. Like, what happens if they can't free up Antetokounmpo, the guy who may be revealed soon to be the MVP this regular season? What happens there? What happens if their role players don't show up at home? I expect those guys to show up and play a lot better than they did games 3 and 4 in Toronto. But, Tony, they got, I'm not going to call them problems. They got big issues that have to be solved on the Milwaukee side tonight. And Coach Bud needs to stop dealing with Drake and deal with his own team that was seen to be invincible 2 games ago, and now, oh wait, not so much.
So I'm going to tell you how fascinated I am with this entire Drake story. And much like you, I'm amazed that Budenholzer is wasting any time with this guy who is essentially a mascot. Okay? He's got to worry about getting Antetokounmpo some points in the paint. And he's worried about Drake. And by the way, if I'm Adam Silver, I am thrilled with this. This is fabulous publicity.
I know. Would bring Drake in tonight. I would say, Drake, why don't you use the league plane and come on to Milwaukee?
100%. They're getting people to watch this series. Most people are just waiting to see who Golden State is going to play. Golden State is the draw. But Drake has turned this into an event. The guy I feel sorry for is Spike Lee. 30 years of courtside with the Knicks, and he never rubbed Fizdale's shoulders.
Other side of the court.
Can you believe this thing about Drake?
No. No, I was shocked. I keep reading and I keep hearing, and I'm covering the series. I'm going to Milwaukee. By the way, Tony, if the NBA wants to improve their TV ratings about start times, why don't they start this damn game before 8:30 Eastern?
Yeah.
Huh?
More than
before
that.
The Western
Put
Conference.
Drake on
why don't
halftime.
They start the Eastern Conference game at 7 or 7:30
100%. With
and
you
fly
all
Drake
the way.
In. With fly me. Drake in and put him in. You can have my seat. Tony, fascinating story in The Athletic coming out of Houston that makes us look back at the end of the Rockets' frustrating and disappointing season. The report is that Chris Paul was quite unhappy with James Harden, and the two had some tense moments after game 6. There's probably more incentive to resolve whatever might be between them because the two are under contract to the combo tune of, wait for it, $77 million next year alone. Paul has 2 more years with the Rockets after that. Tony, the Rockets thought they were set for years. So do they simply live with it and run this thing back or start making some very big changes?
So I think this is a really big story. And you know where I stand on the Rockets. I think they're a whiny team. I think they choke. They come up against Golden State all the time. They don't win. This year they didn't win when Durant wasn't even on the court. And now we have what we have all the time. There's like choice one or choice two. Choice one is that nobody likes Chris Paul and nobody wants to be his teammate. And choice two is that James Harden is a ball hog. And if you talk about changes, Mike, they're the team. That's all they got. You're going to get rid of one of those two guys? Because everything else, you're just massaging around the edges. This is a second straight unbelievable story to me.
This is unbelievable. And unlike the Lakers, which has been, they've been a pox for like 6 weeks, the Rockets, Tony, this is amazing to me. Look, now, you know of my friendship with my man, Dr. Wildcat, Daryl Morey, the GM, the president, whatever the title is, he's running that club.
He put them together. Daryl Morey put them together.
But here's what Daryl Morey will do, and he'll do it quicker than anybody in the league. He'll get rid of you, and he'll bring somebody else in, and he ain't scared. He's not scared to just put the cards on the table and go for it every single time, even with different people. He's the most creative GM in the league. And so, Tony, if these two guys can't play together, Daryl will be the first guy to say, okay, I'm sorry, we're starting over.
And that's fine. And we've heard for years that nobody can play with Chris Paul. And whether or not that's true, we've heard it persistently. They won 53 games. They walked into the playoffs.
With a bad start and injuries.
They walked into the playoffs saying, not thinking, saying.
Believe
they
it.
Were better than Golden State. I honestly don't think you break that up.
Now, let me just really quickly defend.
Why don't you wait to see if Durant leaves?
Let me look at the other side of Chris Paul for a second, Tony. I know for a fact there are players in this league who told their executives when trade possibilities came up to go to Houston, hey, thanks, but no thanks. And they weren't talking about not playing with Chris Paul. They were talking about not playing with James Harden.
Scenario two.
That's fact, Jack.
Scenario two, ball hog. That's what you've got. Veteran Dodger starter Rich Hill is upset about a first-inning defensive shift against the Rays last night. Two out, nobody on, lefty up, Dodgers shift. Tampa's G-Man Choi easily bunted his way on, and Hill exploded into a series of F-bombs and glares into his own dugout. After the game, a calmer Hill said, quote, I think hitters are getting more savvy and understanding how to beat the shift. So we have to make adjustments to that, and I think we will moving forward, unquote. Wilbon, do you get the sense that hitters might be adjusting to these shifts?
No, not yet. Not yet. I know that's a good example. I love it. You know how much I don't hate the shift. I hate the notion that all you can do is hit the ball over the wall. You can beat the shift. We just saw it with a lot less energy and a lot greater success in terms of efficiency. Tony, you don't need savvy and you don't need understanding. If you see no dopes on that side of the field, professional hitters, you don't have to be Tony Gwynn or George Brett. They can slap a ball. 80% of them can slap a ball where they ain't, as the saying used to go. Hit them where they ain't. They don't want to because numbers and guys who don't even go in dugouts and clubhouses, they put together numbers and say, here's what you should do, launch angle. No. Hit the ball where they ain't. We're not there yet, Tony. I hope we get there, but we're not there yet.
So there are only two ways, I think, to beat the shift. One is the thing you just talked about, bunting or slapping the ball, maybe ending up on second if there's no left fielder, which is possible. Two is to hit it over. Two is to hit it out, which is what a lot of players want to do. They want to hit it out. What we are noticing is in the last couple of years, people are actually bunting less to get on and hitting home runs more. Now, the villain in the piece is the strikeout, because this is a very interesting statistic, Mike. If you put it in play throughout the league, you got a .297 batting average, which is good enough. But if you go to jack it out all the time, you encourage more strikeouts. So it seems to me to be a dilemma. It does.
But Tony, it's not a dilemma. It's hard-headed stubbornness. You just talked about what they could do. They don't want to.
Well, there's two teams that do.
Manager,
the Angels,
ball club.
The Angels and the Reds are apparently encouraging their players to bunt more and get on base.
Tony, there's a story coming out of Minnesota that I'm not sure I've ever heard the likes of. A Division III conference called the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference is kicking a school, St. Thomas, out of the league because the school wins too much. That's right. The other schools in this league think St. Thomas has too many students, spends too much money, and wins too much at every sport, specifically football. St. Thomas officials appear to have no recourse other than to eat this decision. Tone, isn't this a particularly troubling position for any conference or league to take?
So I'm going to refer to my notes because I wrote a couple of things down. You're telling me that they're kicking out of school for being good at something. And rather than strive to be better themselves, they are protecting their own mediocrity by demonizing the school that's good. Okay, so look, this is D3. Nobody is turning down Alabama to go play in this conference. You got to try to be better. If St. Thomas is not cheating, and if nobody else is cheating, then lace them up and try and beat them. Don't kick them out to make sure that your awfulness becomes great and everybody gives you a popsicle and a trophy and an apple slice.
This is what we got. This is a millennial decision.
This
millennials
is un-American.
To be at the top of the pyramid now, making these stupid, lame, lazy decisions.
Un-American.
Tony, they talk about St. Thomas having too many students. In the Big Ten, a conference I know a little bit about, like 10 of the 14 schools have nearly 50,000 students or more. We, Northwestern, have about 12,000 students. They're not kicking us out. Last I checked, we were in the conference football championship game with those 12,000 students. Lace them up, get better coaching, get better staffing, and get better.
Try to beat them. St. Thomas is a founding member here. The example I would give is Wake Forest. Wake Forest in the ACC, there's schools that are five, like Northwestern situation, five times bigger. Wake Forest puts on a helmet, puts on some shoes, and every once in a while beats somebody. They don't kick out. They don't wait for us and say, let's kick out these other. This is cowardly beyond
words. It's cowardly. And you know what? The people, unless they reverse this decision, the people who voted in favor of it, they should all lose their jobs. They should lose their jobs. They should be fired.
So much fun to scream. Let's take a break. But coming up, Kyrie and LeBron be looking to reunite on the Lakers? Really?
And the Warriors issue an update on Kevin Durant. Brian Windhorst joins us for Five Good.
Mike, it's
D3. Fire these people.
It's D3. Try and win.
The interruption is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Let's get back into some potentially juicy NBA stories with our good friend ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. Let's start with this. Kyrie Irving was seen shopping in Los Angeles today. You have said that Kyrie is, quote, more open, unquote, to joining the Lakers than he has been. What has changed in that, Brian?
I think his experience away from LeBron James taught him how important it is to be around a player like LeBron. So I think that the door is unlocked. That said, from everything I understand, Kyrie's relationship with Kevin Durant has never been stronger. And while he's repaired and reopened his relationship with LeBron, I think if you want to know where Kyrie's going to go, watch Kevin Durant. But the Lakers may have a chance to get a meeting, and LeBron may have a chance to make a pitch. And that's way further along than they were 4 or 5 months ago.
Brian, more importantly than Kyrie, how would LeBron feel having gotten sick and tired of Kyrie once before and not all that long ago? How would he feel? Would he want to play with Kyrie again?
Well, Michael, have you seen the Lakers roster at the moment?
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron's in position to be too picky. He has been, from what I understand, he has already begun the recruiting process. I've heard he has had contact with Kawhi Leonard. I've heard he's had contact with Jimmy Butler. There's no tampering enforcement by players. And while Magic Johnson, the guy who got in trouble for tampering before, is no longer there, LeBron is tamperer-in-chief of the Lakers right now. The thing about it is I don't know if, you know, texts and calls and maybe a dinner with LeBron is enough for the Lakers to overcome the hurdles that they're going to have. And so I just don't think the Lakers can be choosy. In fact, to be honest with you guys, I think the Lakers really have to look at the trade market. How willing would they be to move that number 4 pick? Would they be willing to make an offer for Bradley Beal? Would they be willing to make an offer for a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who possibly could be on the trade block, depending on whether the Spurs want to extend his contract? Would they be willing to wait for Anthony Davis a year from now? These are the big decisions that the Lakers have. I really don't think they can honestly think that they're going to get Kawhi, Kyrie, or Kevin Durant, even if they have LeBron as their lead recruiter.
All right, enough of the Lakers. Let's talk about a team that's actually defending its championship. All right, the two-time champs. Let's talk about the Warriors for a second. And there are reports today, or the Warriors said today, they're hopeful, Brian, that Kevin Durant can play later in the finals. I don't know what later means. Do you have any sense of that? Because Tony and I are on record multiple times and saying we didn't believe he was playing in this round and we doubt he's playing in the next one. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the big thing that they said today is that he's still not on the court, and he may not even be on the court the rest of this week. And the finals are now less than a week away. So he would need, I would say, a few days of practice and recovery. So when they first had this injury, I know that they said day to day or whatever, but I was told that he was looking like a 3 to 4 week injury. Well, yeah. In between games one and two, or right around game one, would be a 3 week span. So I actually don't think he's had a setback at all. I think he's actually probably on pace. What I think is remarkable is that DeMarcus Cousins may play before Kevin Durant plays. In fact, they haven't ruled out DeMarcus maybe being available for game one. And while the Warriors are doing great, when they play game one, they will have had 9 days off. They will possibly be working in a new player or two, with DeMarcus maybe coming back. And for the first time ever, they will go on the road to start the finals. So I think if you're whoever, if you're Milwaukee or Toronto, to look ahead, I think your best chance is to hope that you get game one. And I can already say that with the Warriors, thinking that game one might be the tough spot for them. If they get up 1-0, especially on the road, I love their chances for that fourth ring.
We will get you out of here on this. Mark Stein has reported that the Clippers have emerged as a strong suitor for Durant during free agency. I'll ask you, what are you hearing? And I want to go back, circle back to what you said before. The implication is that Durant and Kyrie Irving might go together, even though to me that would put two of the most unhappiest people I've ever seen on the same team.
Well, I'll say two things. In talking to teams out there, there's two things that I've been told. One, there isn't a team out there that feels supremely confident about what Durant's going to do. When his agent says that he hasn't decided, I think most teams believe that there's truth there. Now, I'm not saying he hasn't leaned or winked to a certain direction, but without going into details about who I've talked to, I think teams involved in this aren't sure. And the second thing is, teams believe that Durant will set the market. Once Durant makes a decision, it will be up to him with what that team decides to do. Like, for example, if Durant decides to go to the Knicks and he says, trade your number three pick for Anthony Davis, the Knicks will try to do that. If he says, keep that pick and take RJ Barrett, the Knicks will probably do that. If Durant comes on and says, go sign Kyrie Irving or clear space for Kyrie Irving, that's what's going to happen. Right now, Kevin Durant is the most powerful person in the NBA. He will dictate the balance of power next year. He will dictate the top level of free agency, really like LeBron did both in 2010 and 2014.
That's great, Brian. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Let's take one last break, but still to come, Tiger Woods announces his next move.
And Adam Gase responds to suggestions he could trade Le'Veon Bell. Nothing like some good old Adam Gase news.
I like when they run pictures of Adam Gase, too. That makes me happy.
Please.
When he's...
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Brightburn. In theaters Memorial Weekend.
Happy time, people. Happy 28th birthday, Aaron Donald. The great Los Angeles Rams defensive tackle won a second straight Defensive Player of the Year last season. His biggest number was 20.5 sacks, giving him 59.5 in the 5 NFL seasons he has played. You'll remember that last year, Donald held out for big money and the Rams caved. This is one of the rare cases where the player with the big money came through bigger than ever. Good investment.
Tony, do you think opposing offensive lines will solve him, that they can game plan for him? They've seen him for a while now.
He's awfully good.
He is.
Happy anniversary, Maurice Green. This is one of our favorites.
On this day,
15 years ago, after running a wind-aided 9.78 in the 100 at the Adidas Track Classic, Green showed the world how fast he thought he was. He took off his shoes, got his buddy to grab a fire extinguisher, and hosed those shoes down because they were on fire!
Tony, I ran into Maurice Green in London a couple of years ago at the World Track and Field Championships. He loves when we make that our happy Annie.
Happy trails to three Astros. The Astros had runners on first and second with nobody out. And then Jake Mariznick hit a hard grounder right to the White Sox third baseman, who stepped on the bag, through to second, over to first for that rare triple play. In fact,
yeah,
that is the first triple play in the majors all season, Mike.
Tony, the White Sox also had a granny in that game last night. How often can you twin those things up? Daily double.
Are you bullish on the White Sox or just the Cubs this year? Because you like to go back and forth.
Well, the Cubs are in first place. The White Sox are building. I enjoy that, too. I'm not one of those. I got to love one and hate the other. That's not my deal.
Did you see the Nats today? Did you see the bullpen today? Did you see what happened?
They blew another one?
Bang! Wander Suero! Bang! Get out of here!
It blew last night. I thought of you.
Big finish. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Tiger will play in the Memorial. Is that a good call?
Can I ask you something? Sure. What's Tiger doing this week? Like, you know, I mean, seriously, he's got to play. The RNA is still mulling your boy John Daly's request to use a cart at the British Open. What do you think they're going to decide?
Now, he's there because he won the British Open, and I think he won it at St. Andrews, and he was walking then. The RNA, they invented golf over there. They invented it before there were golf carts. Mike, I don't think they're going to be as gracious as the PGA was. I don't. Yeah. Adam Gase said suggestions that he could trade Le'Veon Bell are ridiculous. Will that end the speculation?
I would just like to end the discussion of Adam Gase. I mean, we're not even to June 1st. We talk about this guy every day. Please get off my lawn, Adam Gase. Cody Bellinger, 0 for 4 last night, already under 400, 394. That didn't last long, did it?
Well, he's a great player, and he's leading the majors in a whole lot of things. But you don't begin talking about somebody at 400 until it's July 1st. Last one, Jalen Rose says the Fab Five have ended their beef, and they are now all aligned. Is that a big deal?
That is a big deal to me, Tony. I know those guys, particularly the three most famous and successful of them. I hope that puts it to bed forever. Good.
Has Weber said anything yet?
Well, he's on the games
every
night.
Out of time. Trying to do better the next time.